Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's get back to sports. The Cowboys, they have been resting this offseason, looking to make a lot of noise. Not resting really at all. They've been resetting this offseason. They added Brandon Cooks to an offense that will be run by head coach Mike McCarthy. Now, Dak is entering his fourth season with head coach Mike McCarthy, and he said, quote, the whole passing game is gonna be cleaner. Shady, here's the question I got for you, and this is really a question that impacts all of the sports world. Mike McCarthy, Super Bowl winning head coach. Hard to do. There aren't a lot of them. But Dak Prescott, $160 million quarterback, one of the faces of the National Football League, top three quarterback in the NFC. Who's under more pressure this year, McCarthy or Dak?
It's got to be McCarthy. I mean, Dak cannot do no wrong. No matter what game he blows and they lose, it don't matter. That's the truth of it. I mean, he's playing in his third year of his fourth. It's his third year in his fourth year of his contract, $160 million deal, right? You know, they add players like Brandon Cooks to help the offense out. You got CeeDee Lamb on the other side, all pro wide receiver, right? You got Tony Pollard in the backfield, who's a hell of a running back, Pro Bowl last year.
Yeah.
And then on defense, they bring in Stephon Gilmore. Mm-hmm. I talked to him last weekend. He's all excited about the Dallas. But anyway, so you bring all these pieces. You bring Stephon Diggs to a really, really good defense, top five
Gilmore,
defense.
Yep.
Stephon Gilmore, yeah. So a top five defense. Mm. So I'm thinking, like, man, if they don't win, who's going to get blamed? It can't be Dak, because we've seen time after time where Dak had let them down when they lost, and they find a way to escape out of it and blame somebody else. So it's actually by default.
Yeah.
So you should ask a question like, by default, I got to give it to Mike McCarthy.
I agree with you, but for different reasons. I think Mike McCarthy is under more pressure because who is Mike McCarthy is under way more fluctuation and way more flux than who's Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott is an above-average quarterback, not elite, not bad. He's above average. But who's Mike McCarthy? We keep heralding him as a Super Bowl winner, which he is. Mm-hmm. But I always think, like, who are you without your best? Like, what's so fascinating about the Heat, and we'll talk about them a lot, Eric Spoelstra, even without LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, has gone to the finals twice in the last 4 years. So it's not like he was exclusively dependent upon LeBron James to get to the finals. But McCarthy without Aaron Rodgers, he ain't been all that. He wasn't all that. When Rodgers got hurt in 2013, Shady and I played against them, Scott Tolzien and Seneca Wallace.
Yeah.
I think the Packers won 6 or 7 games. Fast forward to 2017, I believe it was. Brett Hundley takes over, starts 9 games that season. Packers, once again, they win less than 9 games. Mm-hmm. So without Aaron Rodgers, I don't know who Mike McCarthy is. It's time for him to prove it to me. That's why, Joy, he's under more pressure, because I think his reputation can move drastically more than Dak Prescott's.
It's Jerry, though. Plus, we did see a little time without Dak Prescott this year.
We did. Rush hour.
It looked pretty good to me.
They weren't too shabby. It's hard to imagine Jerry making a big move. I'm by default also going to go with McCarthy because it's just, you know, it's easier to move off of coaches than it is off players. Now, that being said, if they don't extend Dak Prescott, his guaranteed money runs up after the season.
Yeah.
So if they decide to wait on that, they could technically move off of both of them at the end of the season. Now, to who and to what, I don't anticipate that happening. I think they'll extend him to spread the money out. But Jerry is a very loyal guy when it comes to coaches, even if he's not quite sure about McCarthy, which he's made quite public.
Mm.
It's just hard. He's stuck with Garrett forever.
Yep. Oh, what, 10 years or so?
He was the head coach's 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
He was with the organization for like 20. So Jerry's just not a guy that does that. Even with players, he's very loyal. Yeah. So I don't think either of them are actually like in the hot seat or have that much pressure. But if I have to pick one, I'll go with McCarthy. And they moved off of Kellen Moore, and he's calling plays now. The last time he called plays, they were 8-11-1 his last 20 games, and that was with Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a little bit more of space to pin blame on Mike McCarthy now that he has taken over that role. But it's still Jerry.
So there's who will have more pressure, and then there's who should have more pressure.
Okay.
And to me, the more interesting one is who should. and it's Dak Prescott. To your point, I hear you about what Mike did and didn't do, and the general feeling is the Green Bay Packers and Mike didn't do enough with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay.
Right. Yep.
But I'm looking at what he did with Cooper Rush, small sample size, 5-1 with the Dallas Cowboys over the last 2 years. A very strong case could be made that the combination of the contract and Dak's inability to close the deal in certain situations is what has hamstrung the Dallas Cowboys from going to the next step. Mm-hmm. And so the quarterback is just, we can look at what Sean Payton is and was with the New Orleans Saints, his ability to get the most out of every quarterback that comes along. But you can only go so far if your quarterback isn't all that. Mm-hmm. And where we put the bar for the Dallas Cowboys, I think a real strong case can be made if we take out the fact that Jerry Jones is the owner, that the real hamstring here is not Mike McCarthy, because as he's demonstrated, I can get there. I mean, he's got there. Has Dak Prescott got there?
Here's the question. We don't have a ton of time for it, but Shady, I'll ask you first. I've had this conversation with a coach in the last 48 hours, head coach of the NFL. He mentioned this. When you think about value, you got to think about who's harder to replace. I would suggest Dak Prescott is harder to replace. I would think he's probably the third best quarterback in the NFC. You could argue anywhere from second to fourth. After Jalen Hurts, then it's, do you like Matthew Stafford? Do you like Kirk Cousins? Do you like Dak? Do you like Carr? Whatever.
Yeah.
I think that Dak is harder to replace than McCarthy is. So if one has to go, if one's under more pressure, that's why I go McCarthy. Because for all the shortcomings Dak has, it's harder to find a second best quarterback in the division than it is to find another Mike McCarthy. But you break it down. You won two Super Bowls.
I disagree. And I'm going to say this. Lately, man, for whatever it is, we've been finding quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. You talk about Dak Prescott, I mean, they replaced Tony Romo.
Yeah.
That was hard to do. The Eagles, at one point in time, Carson Wentz was the real deal.
Yes, sir.
I remember watching him like, dang, I wish I played with him. He was the real deal. Mm. They replaced him like this got better.
True.
Even the Giants. I hate to even say this, right? Depending on who the coach is, you know, I mean, McCarthy's been around some good players. But Daniel Jones, like, Eli left. Oh, will we ever find another? This that quick. It took some time. Mm-hmm. The right situation. But now we actually talk about Danny Dimes as if he's a solid competitive quarterback.
Yeah. Mm.
So as much as you want to think about that, let's just think for sure. Like, I don't know. I think we could place Dak. And then real quick, last part, when you look at the team, he's surrounded by some dudes, bro.
Yes, absolutely.
On offense and on defense.
Yes, sir.
So, I mean, as much as you want to say replace, listen, I can go out and do that. Let me take off this drink. I go out there and do that right now.
Keep the suit on, Shay.
You know what I mean? Give me number four and watch me throw a deep.
Keep the suit on, because I desperately...
I see you, CD.
I desperately need you for the upcoming
great
conversation.
Great sack, Michael Parks. I see you. I can do that.
If you are a football fan, this is the most exciting news you'll hear all day.
Ooh.
We're 100 days away from the start of the NFL season. I could not help but smile when I read that earlier today. So now comes a more interesting dialogue. Shady, given that we are 100 days away from the start of the NFL season, what are you most sure will happen this season?
I don't know about sure, but I know about a guarantee. I'm guaranteed the Philadelphia Eagles will be in the NFC Championship game. We'll be back there again.
I would hope you're sure of that.
I mean, that's not easy to do. To win that game? To get to that game?
You said game.
Yo, look. Listen. Now, listen. On this show, y'all throw championships around like it's easy to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, God is good. He blessed me with two back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I remember when I went to the Chiefs and we went to the championship. And he said, look at this guy. What are you doing? What are you living good? I said, I'm living good. Anyway, to go back-to-back is hard to do. So I'll just say this. For us to get to the NFC Championship game, that's hard to do. Teams gunning for us. You know how it is. They everybody here in the Eagles, this, Eagles, that, they after us. So for us to go there to that game back-to-back, it's hard to do. I think it's guaranteed.
I respect it. Shady, I'm going to raise your level of difficulty a little bit, I would say. I'm going to guarantee Lamar Jackson throws for 4,000 yards for the first time in his career. His previous high is only 3,100, so we're talking about a 25% increase. I'm guaranteeing that with the help of Zay Flowers, with the help of Odell Beckham, Rashad Bateman, Mark Andrews is still there. Nelson Aguilar is actually a very good piece when he's that third or fourth piece. We saw that back in 2017 with the Eagles. With the help of those receivers and new offensive coordinator Todd Monken out of Georgia, Todd Monken was there when Odell had his last 1,000-yard season. I'm guaranteeing, and I'm most sure, that Lamar will throw for 4,000 yards for the first time.
I like that, Acho. I'm surprised.
I got to go out there.
You never really rock with Lamar as much as I thought. But
now that he has this help,
okay.
Now that he has this
like
help,
it.
I'm
like
with it.
It.
Joy, what are you most sure about this season?
Okay. Well, I like that we're all going positive. Because if I wanted to be cheeky, I would say I guarantee that the 49ers will have multiple starting quarterbacks this year. If I really wanted to put some money on something, I know that's going to happen. That's a little shout-out to our
producers.
Or them Cowboys.
Or them Cowboys. They're going to have someone over there,
well,
too.
Well, that was going to be mine.
Yeah.
And we were allowed to go negative.
Yeah,
yes,
but we're not
going to
go negative. We're going to focus on that. And for the 49ers, maybe that'll end up being positive. I'm going to say that the Dolphins are going to win a playoff game this year.
That would be your first time in a long time.
You want to talk about how long?
I can definitely see that. I would agree with that for sure.
2,000. No, I do. I think Tua is going to be healthy. I think, we're showing this. We're showing the last
time.
Jason Taylor, there he goes.
Yeah, look at that uniform.
Pretty good.
Yeah,
that's
been a long time.
Pretty good. He was pretty good there. Jay Fiedler.
Who the running back?
Who is the running back?
This is the game-winning touchdown. That is Lamar Smith.
Wow.
Oh, look at Jason. Wow. So happy.
Yes. Guaranteed that the Dolphins win.
Guarantee.
That's actually a difficult
one. More offense.
It is a difficult one.
That's a difficult one. I thought my Ravens one was tough, but for the Dolphins to win a playoff
game. Tua stays healthy in the postseason, it's a done deal.
I can see that, though.
I can see it for sure.
I can see that.
But what's crazy is in the AFC, you're going to have to beat either the Chiefs in a playoff game, the Bills, the Ravens. It's not going to be no cakewalks. Yeah. I like that.
I didn't say AFC championship game. I said a playoff game.
I got the winner in one, at least one.
Yeah, you got
I mean, I can see it.
Got to win
that.
One.
I can see that.
I'm going to push the envelope a little bit. And I'm going to get back on the Aaron Rodgers train.
Okay.
I'm saying that the New York Jets are going to win the AFC East.
Okay.
Wow. Mm.
And Aaron Rodgers is going to be back in the conversation for MVP, for a potential fifth MVP. I am believing that the motivation to prove the Green Bay Packers should have kissed his you-know-what to get him to stay, and with what the Jets have, and the Bills just feel like they were trying to get there, and they couldn't get there, and now the Jets are going to be motivated. I'm not making any bets on what Aaron Rodgers does in the postseason, okay? I'm not that crazy. But in terms of winning the division, I think they're primed to do exactly that.
I will say Aaron Rodgers, when he gets a little spice in him, when he's got that little petty meter
chicken,
he does do that. And they are a very talented team.
As we've heard.
And I'm trying to think, the Bills won the last couple of years.
Yeah.
You think it's possible for the Jets to be better than the Bills and the Dolphins?
I think we got Bills fatigue.
It's gonna be up there though. It's gonna be competitive. Because every year we say, the Bills going to win. The Bills going to win.
Yeah.
We're not saying no more. It's like, it's going to be a competition. We'll see.
Yeah.
I like that.
What's interesting, Joy, the reason I guess I have Bills fatigue, and I don't know if it's fatigue or reality, it's so hard to maintain excellence for as long as the Bills have. Like, the Bills have been really good for a really long time. I was thinking about it last week. Even the Seahawks in their heyday, they were really good for about 4 years. Like 3 to 4 years. It's very hard to stay really good. The Denver Broncos, when Peyton Manning got there, I think they were really good for about 4 years. Like really good. 2012 to 2015, 16.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills have been really good for a long time as it pertains to the NFL. Roster turns over 33% every year.
Every year, yeah.
Bills have been good for 3 years. 33% times three is 99%. Now, obviously, the roster hasn't completely turned over. But I'm saying that to lost some pieces.
I know that we're all going to jump off the Bills bandwagon. I am going to as well. But I'm telling you,
this is one, though.
It's a lurky little cloud. Because while that might be true, it also, we never know how these things are going to turn out. It might be the year that something crazy happens and they end up taking off. Right. And all that groundwork and foundation of being paying off.
That would be great for the NFL. Exactly. Yeah. I hope it happens. Be great for the NFL.
Baseball is back, and so is Flippin' Bats.
5 times a week, Monday through Friday.
So follow us on the Fox Sports app, YouTube, and anywhere you get your podcasts.
Warriors president / general manager Bob Myers is stepping down after 11 seasons with the team. Myers was the architect for Golden State's dynasty that resulted in 4 NBA titles. Owner Joe Lacob said the team has a lot of work to do, but added, quote, "We are going to win no matter what."
Mm.
All right.
Light years ahead.
We have a lot to talk about here.
Something's wrong.
It's crazy. Shady, this is your team.
The Warriors and the Sixers.
Yes. Is the Warriors dynasty officially over?
It might be. Is Steph there?
Yes, he is. He's still there.
Draymond, he's still, and then
Draymond Clinton.
How can it be over? What are we talking about here? Listen, Bobby, I love him. I truly do. And I'm so happy what he did for our Warriors. He did a great thing, and he put the team together. We're so thankful, right? We're so thankful. But if you remove him, the core is still there. They are still there. And I just think about, like, okay, so once you put the team together, once you put the coaches together, right, and you already, for a couple of years, you've built this organization. And if you look at the stats, I mean, they've been, four NBA titles, mm-hmm. six NBA finals appearances. Like, they did a great thing. So, Steph Curry as a leader, Draymond Green's a leader.
Five in a row, right?
What's that?
Five finals.
But I was giving you just the whole thing.
No, I'm saying that's
a lot. So this is my thing. It's like Steph is still there. You have the core guys still there. I love how y'all try to compare the Heat and the Warriors, which is similar, but it's really not, right? The culture part, yeah, but the players on the court, the coaches are they all there? Like Steph is gonna be coaching out there. Draymond's gonna be coaching out there. Once mm-hmm. Bob put the team together, all right, guys, I set it for you guys. Do y'all thing. And then as I look at it now, I truly think that the Warriors still have a lot in the tank. I think if they get some more production from Jordan Poole, which we've seen the year they won the finals, or the year they won the championship, we didn't see this year. If we get some of that pool back and get a couple different pieces from some of the role players, we'll be fine. We'll be fine.
It's
because we're dealing with another thing. We're dealing with veterans. So even like a Andrew Wiggins, right? He's new to the team. He won a championship with him. He's part of the core, but he's still new. But he's a vet. When you bring vets in the building, bro, it's a difference from a youngster. And I just feel like Bob, he's great, but to say that the Warriors dynasty is over because he's leaving sounds crazy.
So I really don't want to put you on an island. I don't.
I'm built for it.
I guess my thing is with the dynasty being over, it's hard for me to say it's over for all the reasons that you said. Steph is still there. Clay, for now, is still there. Draymond is still there. I don't know what Poole's going to be.
And from the championship team, Poole was there.
Wiggins.
You got Wiggins, and you got Peyton. Played great defense. Yes, He's still there. Come on.
And
Looney's still there.
And Steve Kerr's still coaching.
That was my next piece.
Don't look to me.
I'm waiting for you to.
You looked over here for me, confirmation.
So for all those reasons,
right?
I wouldn't be shocked if they hired the right person that they were to win another championship in the next 2 years. Mm. I wouldn't be shocked because of the core that they have. Okay. But that's what the dynasty is. That's the discussion, right? Like, for the dynasty to continue, they would have to be still competing for championships.
I got to stop this right now.
Well, do your thing.
Because this is Joy Taylor. Joy Taylor, who would never in 1,000 years tell you that Pat Riley's grow on trees. That Pat Riley is one of one.
No, I would be lost without Pat Riley.
Okay, so now you're going to tell me that Bob Myers, that GMs who preside over teams that go to the finals 5 years in a row,
bro,
they grow on trees.
We're not playing with seven undrafted players.
Joy Taylor is not going to say
that. But hold up, tell him that. We're not playing with seven undrafted players.
Here's the thing that gives me pause. Because I do absolutely respect institutional control. What I think provides continuous success is everyone being on the same page, everyone understanding what it takes to win, everyone doing their job to the best of their capability. When you have sustained success like that, for different reasons, the Heat and the Warriors are very similar. Since 2010, Golden State has 108 playoff wins, the Heat have 104. They have six finals appearances, the Heat have six finals appearances. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of similarities with two organizations. And to me, a big part of that is Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra. Similarly, Bob Myers and Steve Kerr.
Thank you.
The players may change around, but it's not even really so much the stars, because both of these organizations can get stars. Where I give Bob Myers a lot of respect is scouting players, finding ways to fit in pieces like a Kevin Durant, acquiring an Andrew Wiggins, bringing in role players that they then develop. It's the development part that is what's exciting to me. It's nerd stuff, But being able to find those players, those undrafted players that nobody else sees any value in, including your own organization because you didn't draft them,
right,
and bringing them in and developing them, finding ways to fit people within, well, not within the salary cap, but make all the money work, those sustained types of success come from great people at the top. So I don't think it's impossible that they could win again, but I do think it's very important who they bring in. It can't just be anybody.
And you know, listen, it's not impossible, but is their dynasty over? I think it is, just for the simple fact that Bob, to me, and knowing Bob personally, but Bob, to me, it's not easy, like Slick said, to do what Bob's done. That's not an easy thing to keep everything under control, because it's like when, I don't know, your household or you playing on a team, it's like, I don't have, Shady, when you was in the backfield, you didn't have to think, like, if you were with Tom or you were with Mahomes or whoever you were with, right? You just thought your natural, instinctual thing to do to be great.
Right.
Bob does that for them. He takes all the problems and everything like that so they can be who they are. Now, this next individual coming in, whoever that is, may not have that type of...
There's no way that he could.
They may not have
that relationship.
It's just not as easy as people think for... to replace a Bob Myers, because Bob is actually the one who built this team and kept guys. Because it might have been worse things that happened that he kept under wraps,
yep, mm-hmm,
for that team.
I agree with that.
From the owner to press, it doesn't matter. It's been really crazy. So
my only pushback is like, so that's all you said is correct, mm-hmm, and we praise him for that, Bob. Thanks, mm-hmm, for all that. But now that it's instilled with the team, right? Mm-hmm. Now that some of the things he had to keep under wraps and control the team, you have veterans for that now, right? It's not like you building this young squad and you trying to fit everybody. We know our roles. Mm-hmm. So if you come in this team, you know what your role is. You talked about the coaches, comparing the Heat coaches with the Golden State coaches, right? Mm-hmm. Spoke and Kerr. But, like, let's not forget here, though. Luke Walton, I don't know if you remember him, because he was a hot commodity for a little bit. He went 39-4.
Yep.
When Steve Kerr stepped out for a second. Mike Brown, he's a respectable coach, but he still is a new coach. He went 13-0.
He's not a new coach.
I'm just saying
went far with LeBron
new
James.
New coach for our Warriors.
Okay.
Player.
Mm-hmm.
We still was winning. So I just feel like the Heat and the Warriors are so different. I think the way we run our teams, I get that organization, yeah. But as far as the players on the court, that's what really matters. Once you already develop the team,
he went 39-4. Who was upstairs?
Listen, what I'm
saying. I'm asking the question.
And who was
just answer my question?
Okay. And
who was upstairs?
And who was on the court?
Who was upstairs?
And I'm gonna keep saying who was on the court.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
But here's the thing. So when you
I never see. hold on for a second. I play with the Eagles, and I see what the Eagles did with what's my guy name? Howie. Yeah. I love Howie. Mm-hmm. You put the team together. We thank you for that. Now we can go out there and ball. But we got to go out there and ball. Bob Myers ain't set no screens, and Bob Myers ain't shoot no trays.
Okay.
You put the team together, now let us work.
Pat Riley ain't set no screens, but it's not about the setting the screens. You go and do that, but I'm picking you to do that.
Those undrafted players, so that I think, real talk, I'm being serious. All them undrafted players and all that, like, I think that's even more important for to have that type of Pat Riley type of thing going on. But once you, with the Warriors, once we have these stars,
okay, hold on.
We got MVPs. What are we talking about?
Are you done? Come. You're going to go back to the Eagles.
I'm done. Go ahead.
Was Gary Payton Jr. drafted?
Okay.
He was undrafted.
So when you're going 73-9 and you have somebody else jump into the coaching seat and you can keep the ball rolling when everything's good, that's not hard.
Okay.
But we've seen since then fires that needed to be put out. All those veterans were there and we still had the Jordan Poole, Draymond Green fiasco.
Mm-hmm.
All those veterans were there, and you still had Steve Kerr and Draymond Green at one point yelling at each other.
Right.
Like, there are things that happen along the way that need to be handled,
Bob?
And resolved, and Bob Myers has been the one who has done it.
Yes.
He handled that Draymond Green and Poole punch?
He was the one who would sit down with Draymond
Green. You don't think it'd have been worse?
I mean,
if Bob wasn't there, you don't think that'd have been worse?
I don't know. I know it was real, real bad. And I know this. I know that Draymond Green, out of his own mouth, said, yo, that punch, that right to the face of Poole's messed up our chemistry.
Stop them from getting as far as they could go.
So
but
where
they,
was Bob?
What's
you
that?
You just said that Bob is there to put out all these fires and all this. Where did he put the fire out?
They still got to the second round of the playoffs. They still made that thing work. Like, they didn't have to trade one of those guys or break that up. in order to continue with the team. But here, look, my thing is, I'm with you in terms of Bob stepping off does not signal the end of the dynasty.
That's right.
The dynasty ended 4 years ago.
Oh, here we go.
It is Jenga, though. Listen, it is the game Jenga. When you slip that piece out,
the dynasty ended 4 years ago. Because in my mind, okay, look, as long as Steph Curry is there, I believe that they can reinvent themselves and potentially build another championship team. But if we're talking about what they built that went to five finals in a row and won three championships.
Right.
Over the last 4 years, but I mean, that ended after KD stepped off and Klay was out for 2 years.
Right.
They weren't a factor. For the last 4 years, they haven't been a dynasty. Yes, they won a championship last year. In my mind, they clawed one back. They won that as much with Andrew Wiggins and the new pieces. I mean, because if you don't make that deal, if you don't go and get Andrew Wiggins, I don't know that they win that championship.
I know. Well, I guess you're just ignoring the Wiseman draft pick. But don't worry about that.
I disagree. I think that the championship, first of all, it's hard to do.
He's talking about the regular season.
The championship is part of the dynasty. Like, to me, that's what solidified the dynasty.
2 years in a row, they weren't in the postseason.
To be able to win with different versions of outlying players and win with that core of Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green on the team, like, that's the dynasty. That's part of the dynasty.
I agree that's part of the dynasty. But if we're talking about the team, the organization being the dynasty, then for the last 4 years, they 3 of the 4 years, they haven't been a factor.
All right, we might have
to circle back to this. So how can I say that they're a dynasty?
He's talking about regular season because they have the best playoff.
No.
They have the best playoff postseason record.
They weren't
from 2019 to 2023.
They weren't in the playoffs. They weren't in the playoffs 4 years ago.
They weren't in the playoffs 3 years ago. That. Well, Celtics season is over. Game 7 loss to the Heat. Let me just read this. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have been to 4 conference finals in 6 years as teammates, but they have not won a title. An NBA insider still says he'd be stunned if the duo has played their last game together. Shady. Can they win a title with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum together?
I'm going to say no. If I told you that you have these two all-stars together, right? One's a first-team All-NBA and one's a second-team All-NBA. And I'll just start, I don't even tell you the names of the other role players, right? And I said his supporting cast, you have a guy that's a sixth man of the year. You have a guy that's a second-team All-Defense of team. You have another guy that was a former defense player of the year. And then you have a solid, savvy vet, right, as the big man, as Al Horford.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying, like, if I told you numbers, you would think that that team would be good enough to win championship, or at least get to the finals. And if they can't get that done with that type of role players, what's left? When you break down a team, you always start the head. Okay, you have the star players. Okay, how can we get the role players to fit into this core? Well, they have that. If I look at a roster in the NBA, like, who has a better roster than the Celtics? It's hard to pick. So if you guys can't get it done, Jason and Jaylen, they got to break it up, and hopefully let's do it a different way. Maybe we trade Jaylen and get a different type of star, different type of attitude. Because it seems like they're both like the same type of player. Not just on the talent level, but it's more like the personality. It's more laid back. You can take it. I can take it. You got to have a mixture, right? If you look at all the superstar players that all play together, they all have like different personalities, though. You know, I just think that for this combination to work, man, they got great talent, but it's time to separate it a little bit.
Slick.
Yeah, to Shady's point, I'm going to jump off there in terms of the personalities and how those two mesh. And looking at the nuclei of championship teams, I mean, you look at Klay, Dre, and Steph. They're all different.
All different.
But they complement each other.
Yes.
Even Jokic and Jamal Murray, they're different, but they complement each other. Kobe and Shaq complement each other. You could go down
the line. AD and LeBron.
All of them, and that's... That's my issue. Now, I understand how difficult it is, and for some people, how crazy the notion of breaking them up, because they've been to the playoffs every year. They just went to the Eastern Conference Finals. They went to the finals last year. So this, I understand anybody who goes, come on, they've been so close. You're going to break that up? And most teams would not, because their level of success has been good enough to roll with it and say, well, maybe if we just tweak it enough around them, we can find our way there. I understand that logic. I just believe at the heart of it, when you look at that core and you say, that doesn't hit me as being a championship core. Those two together, I do not see leading a team and raising the Larry O'Brien trophy. Mm. That's where I say you have to risk it. You have to risk that you're not going to have the same success, knowing that I either break it up and give myself a chance at winning a championship, knowing that I may risk that I'm not going to enjoy the consistent year-to-year success that I've had at this point.
But I think there's so much nuance to it, because part of the reason why that risk feels heavier is because it's the Celtics. It's the Celtics organization.
Also true.
They expect to win championships. If this was maybe in a different city or a team that hadn't had a high level of success and their fans hadn't experienced that and the city hadn't experienced that, maybe they'd be willing to be more patient. But that matters.
Yep.
Like you expect to win championships in Boston. That plays a factor in this. The fact that they've had different coaches that have gotten the team to essentially around the same place in the postseason and they haven't been able to get it over the edge. Everything that you mentioned about all the role players. How many more role players do you want?
Yeah.
So
That's the top of the line role players right there.
Top of the line role players.
What else could you possibly be asking for? And the fact that it really feels like there is no real vocal stop the bleeding leader on this team. So if the top two players aren't going to be that, well, then you've got to go down the line. Well, once you start getting down the line, you can't go too far down the line because what are you really saying to me? Like, you're not really going to go out there and get this done yourself. Right. So you're kind of in the same role as a coach at that point.
Yeah.
Like, are you really going to go out there and will us to victory the way that Draymond Green is going to put somebody in a position so he can be that third guy and be that leader? So I hesitate to say that they should break them up because, to your point, they've been so close. And there is something to say for consistency at the highest level. But there's also something to say for doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, which is insanity. So it's a very thin line here between being insane and just taking a risk that may take you out of that conversation. Yeah. What do you think, Ab?
You know, this is very touchy for me, right? So Steve Francis and myself, you know, when we were in the West, we were considered one of the best best duos in the West. And we went 40-some games a year, but we didn't, you know, sometimes we meet the Lakers and they were 1 seed, we were 8 seed. And then John Lucas Sr., who was with the Rockets, he said, you know what, you guys be better away from each other. And at the time, I took that seriously, like, what are you talking about? That's not my brother. That's my brother. And I think with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, it's the same kind of thing. They both do the same thing to me. And then you have, like what Slick was saying, you have the Jordan and the Pippen. They don't do the same thing. Pippen's more of a point, right? And then he's giving it to Mike, and he's doing all the, you know, dirty work stuff, you know, even though he's one of the best small forwards ever to play the game. Then you have Isaiah Thomas and Joe Dumars. They do different things. And then you have LeBron James and Wade. That's the only two that you compare them to that they kind of play alike, but LeBron is more of a point, and Dwayne is a point also, but then also, too, is... He's more of a scorer. But then also, too, is Dwayne had to go to LeBron and say, yo, come on, this is your team. I'll follow you. I don't know if Brown said that to Tatum yet.
Yeah.
But then also, too, as you think about Boston Celtics, with KG being the vocal leader, and he was MVP, and he was big ticket, and he was the guy, but then Rondo made sure everybody ate.
Yeah.
I don't think Boston has that team, and it's been too many years. It's been three coaches so far. Right? I think they've maxed out what they have.
Yep.
So I think if Jaylen Brown goes somewhere else, they would be better off in their career because I think they've been stunted their growth towards
each other. It feels a little redundant.
Yes.
Right? So all of the guys that you're talking about complement each other. AD and LeBron, Jokic and Murray, Pippen and Jordan, like Kobe and Shaq. They don't do the same things, but they're both great players.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's really the dynamic that I think Boston doesn't have. And you can't really complement that with role players because just the rest of the roster, because the rest of the roster is not all going to be as good as your top two stars.
Well, and to your point, with the Boston Celtics, in most cases, like, let's go to Oklahoma City with with KD and Russ. We always had a feeling, can this really work? Mm-hmm. Can these guys, because it didn't feel like it always fit, but you looked at the talent and you look at Oklahoma City, you go, well, when are you ever going to get another KD in Oklahoma City or a Russ Westbrook, mm-hmm. right? So they did the same thing. Serge Ibaka, Steven, like you bring in a bunch of different guys to try to make it work, but right. you just never question the core. But in Oklahoma City, it works. If there's any place that would say, yeah, we've been good, but good doesn't meet our expectation. We're looking for another banner. Right. That's what we go for. Then if that's the case, then Boston has to say, we've given this a go. We need to find another
form. I mean, that is the case. Yeah. It pains me to say nice things about Boston, but they've been held championships. That's the standard there.
Okay, we are finding out a lot more about Aaron Rodgers' tumultuous exit from Green Bay. Now, reports say his agent called the Packers in 2021 in the offseason, and they requested that the general manager of the Packers, Brian Gutekunst, be fired or they trade Rodgers. Now, the quarterback also told The Athletic about a lack of communication with Gutekunst this offseason, saying, quote, just tell the truth. You wanted to move on. Mm-hmm. Shady. Who will win the divorce?
Yo, whoa. Don't say the D word. I don't play that.
You don't play those games?
So ask me another way. I'm ready.
Who will win the irreconcilable difference between...
That boy good.
Between the Packers and Aaron Rodgers? Who's going to win it?
It has to be the Packers. Let's just think about this for a second.
Break it down.
The Packers have been successful before Brett Favre. And they've been successful after Brett Favre.
Mm-hmm.
I think they still will be successful after Aaron Rodgers. Now, that doesn't mean that they'll be successful this year. I think they're good enough as an organization that they'll find another quarterback in the next maybe five, maybe one, I don't know, maybe 10, they'll find another quarterback. This is another number for you. Since 1960, they've had a sold-out game.
Mm.
Think about that, though. Every game is sold out. That's a lot. So I think sometimes we get so into the player, right, the superstar. Mm-hmm. Oh, there'll never be another Aaron Rodgers. That might be true, but they'll find some type of success, maybe in a different quarterback. When Brett Favre left, they didn't think they would get another Aaron Rodgers or something like Brett Favre. So I always like to go back to this, the franchise. One thing, when I got traded and I was so angry, a coach told me this. Deuce Staley said, listen, players can come and go.
Yep.
The franchise, it will always stay.
Mm-hmm.
And the Green Bay Packers is a franchise that's going to stay for a long time.
I'm with you, 2-5. Like, I think the Packers have already won the divorce. Because they're happier now. And a large part of the reason people get divorced is because, well, I want to be happier without my past partner. The Packers are happier now than they were with Aaron Rodgers, who was calling for the general manager to be fired. The other reason that you might want to stay around,
boy, crazy,
in the midst of wanting to get a divorce, is if it's worth it. But at the point in which you lose to your division rival, the Detroit Lions, en route to going to the playoffs, then is Aaron Rodgers even still worth it? You only won, I believe it was 8 games last year, Green Bay Packers. That's not worth the headache that comes with Aaron Rodgers. A Super Bowl is, but you haven't won a Super Bowl since, what, 2011, 2010? Yep. So I think the Packers have already won the divorce. Not to say Rodgers will not go and be successful and have success in his own right. I think the Jets will go to a conference championship game in the next 2 years. But the Packers have already won it by those metrics.
But Aaron Rodgers is going to retire eventually.
Mm-hmm.
The Packers aren't going to stop being an organization. So if that's the parameters, then yeah, the Packers won because they will exist for longer than Aaron Rodgers will in the NFL. But that's not how breakups work. Usually, there's like a little window, you know? Did you go get your little thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe you won because they're taking a little longer to get back out there.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go buy that house you wanted to buy that she didn't want you to get? Like, what is the parameters for breakups? I'm comfortable with the D word, but
like the breakups.
Yeah, for the breakup. To me, it's the window in which Aaron is still in the league.
Mm-hmm.
That's let's call that the breakup, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's fair. It's when Tom left, it's until Tom retired.
Correct.
He won that. He won that breakup.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Patriots still exist, and Tom no longer plays in the NFL. So the Patriots long-term will maybe eventually be good again. But that's the parameters of the breakup. So if that's the case, who will win in this time between Aaron Rodgers not being with the Jets, and or not being with the Packers and being with the Jets, and the Packers in that same amount of time?
So if that's how I'm looking at it, I think Aaron's going to win. It is very hard for me to imagine that the Packers will be better in the next 2 years than they were with Aaron Rodgers. They weren't good last year with Aaron Rodgers. They didn't make the playoffs with Aaron Rodgers, A-Rod, last year. I'm supposed to believe in these next 2 years, because that's imagining how, that's how much longer we think Aaron will play for, that they are going to be better than he will be with the Jets. I can't believe I'm saying all these nice things about the Jets and Aaron Rodgers, but I just don't have that much faith in what the Packers are going to be able to do in the next 2 years. Will the Packers eventually be good again? I believe so. They're a well-run organization. They have a great fan base, all those things you said. But not in the next 2 years, I don't think.
But here's my thought, though, Joy, is I don't think the Packers have to be better than Aaron Rodgers and the Jets to win the breakup. The Packers just have to be better than they were with Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Like, if you split with somebody, you don't have to be better than them.
Right.
I just got to be better than I was with them.
Yeah. Right.
And they were at an 8-win team last year in a division slick with Justin Fields, Kirk Cousins, and Jared Goff. That's a very 8-winnable division.
Yeah, sure, sure.
The year before, I believe, they didn't win a playoff game. I think they had a bye week, and then I think they got beat by the Niners in Green Bay.
In Green Bay, you're right.
So for the Packers to be better than they were with Aaron Rodgers the last 2 years, they just got to win more than 8 games, not have a losing record. Like, I don't think they will be better than the Jets. I agree with Joy wholeheartedly. Slick, I agree with that notion wholeheartedly. But I do think they'll be better than they were with Rodgers. Where are you at?
I guess we'll find out. I mean, perception is reality. And I'm with Joy on this. If we're talking about the immediate, Aaron Rodgers is in New York. People are hyped about the New York Jets.
They are.
Anybody talk about the Green Bay Packers?
Nobody.
Anybody talk about Jordan Love?
No, sir.
I mean, this is like you get a divorce and you're like, God, I'm so glad because they just messed up the kitchen all the time and now the house is nice and clean and everything. Nobody sees the house. Aaron Rodgers is driving around in a new car with threads. Like, like, he looks like he won the divorce as of right now. Now, I do believe that the franchise always wins just because they have a longer runway to get back. And if you look at the Green Bay Packers, Brett Favre, they divorced Brett Favre, and here comes Aaron Rodgers. 49ers moved on from Joe Montana. It took them a year or two. They won a Super Bowl. Same thing with the Green Bay Packers after. So they've got more room to recover from the divorce. But if I'm looking at it right now, Aaron Rodgers appears to be happier than ever doing things in New York. And meanwhile, Mark Gutekunst is at, what, like high school girls basketball game.
But the only thing is, like, even when we talk about the franchise doing better, is so we talked about, you talked about Tom Brady. And I don't think that they can ever get over that. I'm going to say breakup, sorry. Over that breakup, I almost said it. Over that breakup, I don't think they ever recover from that.
Yep.
This dude got you 6 rings.
Well,
so my thing is, when I look at the 49ers, like they was winning championships, and then Steve Young, let's get some championships. The difference is with the Packers, though.
Talk to me.
Aaron got you 1 ring and in a long time. Now, hold up. Rings are hard to do. I get that. But that long period of time with that great type of quarterback you have and the players they had, I want a little bit more than that. So I just feel like if the Packers can go out there and get you an extra ring in the next 20 years,
breakup. 20 years isn't a breakup. Mm-hmm. Like, Aaron Rodgers isn't going to play for the next 20 years.
10?
No. The breakup is the time that Aaron Rodgers is in the league. Until Aaron Rodgers retires, that's the breakup period.
Let me ask you this then, Joy, because Shady, I would say with you.
Of course they could win another championship in 20 years, but that has nothing to do with that has nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers moving on.
Man, if they won a championship without Aaron Rodgers, you think he ain't even home thinking about that? Damn.
Don't
let the quarterback be nice.
But
you don't think Brett Favre was thinking about A-Rod?
Yeah, but Shady, what I'm saying is Brett Favre was still in the league. Like, in 20 years, if the Packers win a Super Bowl,
what about 10?
Nobody in the building right now is going to have anything to do with winning.
Here's where I would draw a distinction. Tom Brady, to Joy and Shady's point, won the breakup because the Patriots were still winning with Tom Brady. So the Patriots actually had success with Tom Brady. So they're looking at Tom Brady win saying, man, that could have been us.
Yeah.
But the Packers weren't winning with Aaron Rodgers. They've won two playoff games the last 6 years. So even if Aaron Rodgers goes to win with the Jets, the Packers can't sit here and say, man, that could have been us. Because it wasn't you. If you beg somebody to buy you flowers and y'all split, then they go buy somebody else flowers, they weren't buying you flowers either way.
Well, this isn't a competition then. Like, it's just we just went our separate ways, which is not what this feels like.
Unless Jordan Love, like, where I'm at with Shady is, I don't think if the Packers win in the next 20 years, they win the breakup, even 10 years. I think it's if Jordan Love does it.
Yes,
because they moved on from they moved on from Aaron Rodgers for Jordan Love.
So, wait,
so I think it's only Jordan Love who could make them win.
So it. What if they go out there and get a first round draft pick and they get a quarterback? You telling me that?
I think Rodgers. If I'm Rodgers, I'm laughing. Because wait a second, think about it. You use two first round picks to replace
me. That sound cool? That Aaron Rodgers? You think he gonna be cool with that? No,
bro. If they have to go draft a first round, if you have to use a first round pick on quarterback when you just drafted a first round pick at quarterback to replace me,
you talking about 4 years ago? Damn, they ain't worried about that.
Yeah,
you go get a quarterback right now in the first round, boom, and he comes there and he's like you, he's good like you, he born like you. You think he gonna care? Listen, I ain't never been that good with breakups like that. I've always been cool with my breakup partners, but. If it don't go well the first 2 years, and then she just fires us, get married. She look happy on Instagram.
Break apart?
I mean, Rolls Royce and everybody's kissing it. I ain't going to be too happy about that. That's just me. You know what I mean? Y'all might be cool. I just, damn, I'm like, look at her. She looks happy. I'm going to be in my feelings.
There is a window where it's no longer, where nobody has anything to do with each other anymore, though. Like, to me, it's how it goes over these next 2 years that Aaron Rodgers is in the NFL.
I would give the Packers a little more runway than that, but I would say in the next 5 years.
I ain't doing all that.
They get too good.
If Aaron is getting this hype and making $50 million right now, and you moved off of him for Jordan Love, and he goes to an AFC championship game, or he gets to the Super Bowl with the Jets, y'all lost.
Well, I'll say that. If they go that far.
Okay, back to the finals, but the flip side. Nikola Jokic, he dominated yesterday, and it wasn't all in the points column. He had 26, but still had a phenomenal triple-double, what he usually does. 27, actually, if I am not mistaken. 27, 10, and 14. So here is the most important question in the basketball world right now, besides who's going to win the finals. The most important question is Jokic the best player on the planet? Now, Slick, to remind the viewer at home, you're so credible in NBA circles that you actually get to vote on MVP.
Yes.
Not many people do. You know how many off the top of your head? How many voters there are?
100.
100 voters. You are one of the 100. So we are talking to somebody who not only has inside information, but somebody who's incredibly credible in the space. Slick, is the Joker, and has he proven he's the best player on the planet?
I'm not going to complain if anybody says that they believe that he is. But the word that I'm hung up on is proved. Like, because that would suggest that he's proved it over this playoff run, that he is the best. And the problem I have is that it's absent of his competition. Are we giving Jokic best player on the planet because Giannis Antetokounmpo moved to Mars, or because he didn't get out of the first round? Because look, if you want to say, hey, injuries don't matter or injuries a factor, Giannis had a bad back. Joel Embiid was injured. Like, his competition isn't here to stand up. And again, if I look at the Denver Nuggets and their composition and what's happening and how Jokic is playing, I have to give credit to the fact that Aaron Gordon is big boying Gabe Vincent, and that Jamal Murray had 26 and 10, and he's got a better team around him, and the other competition is absent. So he's got a better team than the competition right now. It just feels like the scales are tilted, and it's really easy to say yes because he's playing the best of any player who's playing right now, right? But does that – and if you want to say that makes him the best, I'm okay. But I just – like, we're going to say he's the best, and then we get to next season, and Joel Embiid puts a 50 on him, and we're going to – now we have to revise it. Well, what happened between now and then other than he played the competition?
It's easy to say that he's the best, so I'll do what's easy in life. I'm going to go ahead and say, Shady, that he is the best player on the planet, and in large part because one of the best abilities, if not the best ability, is availability. Sure. So I credit Jokic for being healthy when my guy, Giannis Antetokounmpo, wasn't. Okay. I credit Jokic for being healthy when Joel Embiid wasn't. Now, Jokic does have a lot of help, but I will say Jokic makes that help look better than they would without him. So he does have Murray. He does have Gordon. He does have KCP. He does have MPJ. He has all of these pieces. Mm-hmm. But I think that Jokic makes those players look significantly better than they are without him. Furthermore, Embiid did have Harden drop 45, if I'm not mistaken, when he was out. Mm-hmm. Embiid had Harden drop 41 when he was present. So Embiid had his help. Now, I don't think Middleton helped Giannis as much as Middleton has in the past. This year, obviously, Middleton missed half of the season due to injury himself. But if you were present, I got to give you some credit for being there. I got to give you credit for being available. I got to give you credit for being in shape. I got to give you credit for being healthy. Jokic is healthy. He's present. He's available. And he balls every single night. Furthermore, I can't really find too many flaws in his game. I think Embiid has leadership flaws. I think Embiid has cardio and conditioning flaws. I think Giannis has shooting flaws, particularly from the free throw line. But Jokic, when I look at his flaws, I can't find too many of them. Based on aesthetics, I want to say he's not in shape, but he don't ever get tired. So in my mind, Jokic has proven, and if he does win the finals, because he still got to do that. He win the finals, proving the best player on the planet.
What are we talking about right now? What are we talking about? Jokic is the best player walking right now. I mean, and this guy is a two-time MVP, back-to-back, for a reason. You know what's funny? We criticize him so much. Why is he getting MVP again? He's stat patting. He's doing the same thing he did. Them 2 years, he's doing the same thing in the playoffs, in the finals. He's averaging a triple-double.
Yeah,
how is he not the best? Right? Like, I know your guy. I know. The Greek Freak, he's a great player. Joel Embiid, one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. I'm biased. But can we keep it real?
Keep it real.
Let this dude stats. First of all, this whole playoff series and all that, all these teams, he's shooting the second best from three. He's a center behind Booker. That's it. At 48%. He's shooting 54% from the field. He leads all the playoffs. Eesh. He's averaging 11 assists. He leads the playoffs in that category as a center. And he's leading in rebounds at 13 a game. Like, I'm just trying to figure out what we're talking about.
Is he a better defensive player than Giannis Antetokounmpo?
He's affecting the game better than everybody.
Is he a better defensive player than Joel Embiid?
I'm going to say no, defense-wise, no.
Okay.
No.
But that's part of the game.
You know what it is, though? That's cool. That's cool, and I get what you're saying. But when it comes to affecting the game, this time when Steph Curry wasn't the best defender, mm-hmm. he affected the game so much that they made him the top player in the league. Jokic, when I watch him, it's like, and I'm being honest, I think it's because he doesn't look sexy. Right? We want to crown the guy that looks the best. Steph Curry, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, you know what I mean? The Greek Freak, it looks sexier. It don't look sexy with him. He gonna wobble down that court. Bang. He gonna hit you with the no-look pass. Like,
I don't know,
he's balling, bro.
His passes are pretty.
I'm keeping it real, and I don't want to keep talking too much about him because I really love and I get excited when I see great players.
Yeah, he's great.
But the thing he's doing right now, he's dominating. And one thing that we criticize him for is not getting done in the playoffs, and he has all them role players looking so good.
He does.
I've never seen him look this good. Hmm. Real quick, Joe, before you go, because you talked about the role players. Mm-hmm. Like, Jamal Murray's looking good.
Mm-hmm. He looking elite.
I've never seen him look
looking
this good.
Elite.
Michael Porter Jr.? I've never seen him look this good.
Aaron Gordon.
KCP? Aaron Gordon. He looked this good to you? Pause. No. And the big reason is number 15 for Denver.
Yeah, I don't care about who anybody's playing with. Giannis won winning before he got guys there. Mm. LeBron has not won by himself. Jordan didn't even win by himself.
That's true.
Kobe didn't win by himself.
There you go.
It's a team game. So, yeah, you better have some players around you, and mm-hmm. role players are going to have to step up like they have on every single championship rung that has ever happened in the history of the sport.
Yeah. Because
it's a team game. When we're talking about the best player on the planet, it's Jokic. It's just Jokic. To me, and it's really splitting hairs, really. Like, if you want to say Giannis, cool. To me, it's been Giannis, KD, or Jokic for a while now. Mm-hmm. And I love Embiid, and he was the MVP this year. But, I mean, come on. Embiid can't get past the second round of the playoffs. Embiid can't stay healthy. Embiid is not on Jokic's level. He's not the best player on the planet. You can be the MVP and not be the best player on the planet. We can go down a whole long list of MVPs that were not the best player on the planet when they won the regular season MVP. Jokic affects the game in ways that we've never seen before. People always want to try and find a comp for him. There is no comp for him. He's like this. He rebounds like this. He shoots like this. He's not aesthetically what we want. We want it to look different. We want him to be a different aesthetic, and it's frustrating. He looks like he's not in shape. That man will run circles around everybody at this table.
That is very true.
He does it every single night. He's never tired. He's strong. His passes are elite. He's an elite passer. He can shoot from the three. He's 500 feet tall. I just don't know what else we would want. What else? If you were like,
we want some more slam dunks.
No.
We want some slam dunks.
What else could you ask for when it comes to what he can do on the court?
But this is my whole point. Like, Jokic can't. He can't prove it right now because he's not up against the competition.
Did they miss the plane? They got the tummy flu. They got knocked out.
He is doing everything that he possibly can to prove that he's the best player in the league. But Doc Rivers versus Michael Malone, who has the better coach? Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter Jr., and you can say that offensively he makes them better. But defensively, they cover for him. So when I look at what Giannis Antetokounmpo does at both ends of the floor to make everybody better at both ends of the floor, I just can't discount that.
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
Real quick, because like I said this before to you, about like, man, he don't really play great defense. Until you really watch him, I don't see nobody just killing him. I asked you, I said, yo,
Did Bam Adebayo not have a great game?
I don't see Bam doing that again like that. Because I haven't seen Bam score like that.
But he did it.
But let me ask you a question, though. Remember I asked you, I said, why they don't put Jokic in more pick and rolls? What you tell me?
Because he's better than I thought than you think. I'm not disputing that.
Let me see if I can help myself.
By the way,
understand.
Can I just say?
Go ahead.
I feel like I'm you right now. I'm fighting the entire.
But like, if you want to say Giannis, that's fine.
Yeah.
But. Like, what? But, like, we're talking about the best player on the planet individually. I don't care about who's playing on side. Like, that's about championship runs and all that. That's fine. What Jokic is the best player on the planet. And we are. And keep in mind, it's not like he had, like, a down year this year.
Right.
That's why he didn't win his third straight MVP. He won MVP, MVP, and almost won again this year.
Let me see if I can help you, help me, help the viewer.
Oh, thank you.
Nobody in my mind, at least, really was saying KD was the best player on the planet until 2017, 2018.
Right.
And they said that because he beat LeBron James head-to-head.
Right.
Nobody was saying Giannis was the best player on the planet, even after he won his MVP, until he won the title. But remember what he had to do when he won the title. He beat Kevin Durant head-to-head in route to winning the title.
Who
everybody was saying at the time was the best player on the planet. So, though I don't agree with your argument, I do understand you saying Jokic has to beat those who people are calling the best player in the planet to become the best player in the planet.
Thank you.
Because to your point, Kevin Durant was not crowned best player in the planet until he beat LeBron.
Right.
Giannis wasn't crowned best player in the planet until he beat KD. So I hear what you are saying, if that is what you are saying.
Yeah.
Even though I do not agree, I can understand the logic because it has historically tracked.
It's impressive that he beat Anthony Davis and LeBron James, although this is not the LeBron James that we're used to. KD, right?
Yeah, only Booker out.
It's impressive that he's doing what he did and is doing against Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler. But those aren't the guys that he's in competition with for that mantle.
So then, what
right
does that
now.
Say about those guys?
So you blaming him for.
I'm not blaming him for anything.
But I'm saying, like, you're not giving him that credit because of the team he's playing against? Is that what it is? I'm sorry, I'm lost.
It's a combination of that and the team that he has around him. And to separate... Luka Doncic. And is there anything that our guy is doing that Luka Doncic couldn't do, that Jokic is doing? Is there anything that Luka Doncic can't do...
Get to the finals.
Hold on.
Listen up. The guy got two MVPs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
almost won his third MVP. And to put the bow on his big, big gift he got.
Yep.
He's about to win a championship.
Yeah.
Well, not yet. But.
How does that not like give you the edge of this is my time?
Let's translate.
This is my lead.
I could get it though, because Shady, let's move
this
it
is
in.
Crazy.
Let's pivot it into another lane. If you are in combat for best running back in the league,
okay,
but the person you're in combat with is hurt, I could understand somebody saying, well, we ain't see him become the best running back in the league because the other running back is
hurt. If the running back goes out and gets two rushing titles, all pro, first teams, right? Mm-hmm. MVP of the league, I'm tripping. MVP of the league twice. And then the next year go and get a championship? I can't even argue with you. What are we arguing about? Can we argue about anything? What can we argue about? I'm being serious. If I go out there and get two MVPs, right?
Yeah.
And then the next year I go get a championship.
Mm-hmm.
While being in the MVP conversation that year.
And I'm the best player in the whole playoffs. What are we talking about?
The only person who has that resume in the last 4 years is Giannis. So Giannis would then be your
argument. He lost in the first round.
Giannis has one MVP.
No, Giannis. No.
I'm one championship. I'm sorry.
Correct. So Jokic, if Jokic wins a championship, the only person who could be in that argument, I can't argue Giannis because he got hurt. So that is where you are. That's where you're planning.
No, I'm just hurt. He did play. Can we stop that? He's hurt, but he did play.
So I'm like, I can't argue Giannis because to me, crazy. Getting hurt matters. Like Giannis is disqualified. Like I can't say Giannis is better than Jokic right now because being available counts.
I'm also separating most successful from best. If we're talking best individual player, again, this is why we had the whole debate with Giannis and Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic during the course of the season for MVP. Yeah. And why we questioned Jokic's MVPs prior to this. I feel like we are, look, he's validated that he can get meaningful triple-doubles.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Not just triple-doubles, but meaningful triple-doubles. And I know that this is 99% of the people out there agree with you guys in terms of, what are you talking about? Nikola Jokic is on his way to winning a championship. He's been the best performer in the playoffs. He's a two-time MVP. How can you not say he's the best player on the planet? And I'm just saying that the other guys are not getting the opportunity to demonstrate at this time. So I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment.
They didn't miss a plane. They didn't, like, forget their shoes.
They both got hurt. And I would argue that they are playing with lesser teams.
So the fact
that Jokic has advanced, do I give him all the credit?
Quick question, and I'm done with this topic. Who's playing better than Jokic?
Right now? Nobody.
Okay.
He's the best player. He's the best player in the playoffs.
Because my answer, I will say.
Jokic have an all-star?
Was he an all-star?
Does Jokic have an all-star who's a teammate?
Oof.
Oh, well, that's the voters.
Oh, now it's the voters.
What do you mean?
You think
Jamal Murray hasn't played like an all-star?
Now? Why? Because he's playing alongside Jokic.
Last question. I keep saying that.
All right.
In the last 3 years, hurt or not hurt, the last 3 years, who's been the best player in the NBA? Because I want to make sure I'm not tripping.
What's that?
Last 3 years, who has been the best player in the NBA?
It would be a combination.
No, let him go.
I don't think it's been one player.
Who?
I don't think it's been one player.
Well, tell me some of the guys.
Giannis is one of them. Joel Embiid was this past year.
Bro.
Kevin Durant has been.
The best player last 3 years, though, is Jokic.
But you know what? I don't know that you would have said that a year ago.
Yo,
but we're not talking about a year ago. We're talking about right now.
Let me ask this, though. Is our answer predicated upon our belief that Jokic will go on to win a title?
No, because I don't think they're going to win a championship. I don't think no matter what, I can still say he's still the best player on the planet right now.
See, if the Nuggets lose Shady to the 8-seeded Heat, that would make my answer. That would shake the foundation.
What if Jokic
answer?
Is excellent in every single game and all his teammates do some
and
weird
that's
stuff?
That's a great point. If you are excellent, I think the mark of excellence is making everybody around you too excellent.
It doesn't.
I think what makes Jokic the best player in the league for me is to your point of where there are other all-stars. There are none. What made Giannis the best player in the league for me was Jrue Holiday was nobody as it pertains to all-stars before he showed up.
Thank you.
And when Giannis started winning, look it up. I'm not making this up. Look it up.
So what makes a player the best in the world? Let me ask that question.
Individual dominance and making everybody around him better. What LeBron James was doing.
He does that better than anybody.
Agree. So all I'm saying is, for me, he has to win the title. If he loses to an 8-seed, then that would shake my
head. Okay, you answer it. What makes a player the best
eight
in the world?
8-seed to beat the Bucks and Giannis, the Knicks, and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and the Celtics who were in the finals last year.
I would add.
You can call him an 8-seed, but like.
Well.
I would add.
Right, here we
you
go.
Have
here
to.
We go.
No, I'm they are.
You know what? It's a blessing that the Heat have been allowed to participate in this nice tournament. It was really cute. Do we get like little ribbons or something for being allowed to go to Denver? It's like a special invitation.
Joy. Come on, Joy. I was with you for three rounds.
To be able to get out of the humidity.
Joy.
They just wanted to let us out of the humidity a little bit. You know, to see some mountains.
The facetious Joy is not my favorite Joy.
It's ridiculous.
What? Before we leave, answer the question.
What?
What makes a player the best in the planet? What makes him that?
If he can impact the game at both ends of the floor better than anybody else.
What?
If that's his answer.
I'm done with it. Okay. Cool. Are
you
cool?
Is actually you done with it?
What is yours? What is yours?
Steph Curry ever?
What is yours?
Was Steph Curry ever the best
in the world? What is yours?
Was Steph Curry was never.
What is yours?
Do we have commercials?
Steph was never the undisputed best player on the
floor. He was never.
He never had a period where he was running things?
Mm. He was never undisputed the best player on
the floor. Thank you.
Coming up, the Cowboys have made some big offseason moves. Shady is at five. But is there still a gap between the Cowboys and the NFC champion Eagles from last year? That is next on Speech. We all got to
go. We're going to talk about
Luka.
Let's get to my favorite topic of the day. My former team, LeSean McCoy's favorite team, the Philadelphia Eagles. They dominated last year. They're on top of the mountain. But the Cowboys are coming in hot. They got Brandon Cooks this offseason. And he praised his quarterback, Dak Prescott, saying, quote, his leadership skills are unbelievable and special. Dak Prescott being described as unbelievable.
I like that Brandon Cooks. He ain't played for Jalen Hurts. Leadership.
Shady, let's talk about this. You are the all-time leading rusher for the Eagles. No better person to have this conversation than the person I am sitting next to. The Eagles were the cream of the crop last year. But is there a gap between the Cowboys, who are storming in this year, and the Eagles?
I'm going to say yes. I think it's a gap. I think it's a nice space there. I do think that the Cowboys did get a lot better. I think they had to compete with us, bringing in Brandon Cooks, like you said, a deep threat, right? And then one of the top 10, top five cornerbacks, I think, in this league, Stephon Gilmore.
Yes, sir.
You know, let's talk to him earlier today. He's happy to be there. So they got a nice team. But when you look at the matchups, it got to be the Eagles. Mm. We got a better quarterback.
True.
We got a better GM.
True.
And I'm going to say this. We got a better head coach. Recently, yeah. I don't want you going back to all them years back then, 2010, 2011, that's old. Right now, we got a better coach. So I just think that when we look at our team, the way we're built, right, we got that chemistry, we got that leadership, and I think it's a big margin. I mean, if they can go out there and get a quarterback that doesn't lead the league in picks, it might be closer. But until then, I don't know. I'll go with the
Shady, can you do one Cowboys conversation without mentioning that Dak Prescott leads the league in picks?
Well, I'm here to do my job. So him leading the league in picks – and not playing all the games. That's people want to know that. America, my job in America is to give you the stats, right? I think it's a close margin, but I gave you the reasons why. They got a quarterback that, you know, that likes to throw the other team the ball. Can't win like that.
Can't win with him. Shady, let me ask you this. Do you believe that Nick Sirianni is a better coach than McCarthy, given the fact that even in the last 2 years, I believe the Cowboys are 12-5, making them 24-10. And if I can do this math off the top of my head, the last 2 years for the Eagles, 9-7, and I think 14-2, making them 23-11, 23-9, something like that. Do you think that Nick Sirianni is a better coach? Do the Cowboys have a better coach?
You know why? It's because it's one thing to have a great quarterback and do well, right, early. But Jalen Hurts wasn't always a great quarterback. He was there when we had to learn, when he had that playoff game against Tampa where it got ugly. Got better, stuck with him, got better. I love to see players and coaches consistently getting better each year. I mean, so if you look at Sirianni's track record, he's getting better and better and better. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, no, and no disrespect to Mike.
Of course.
You know, I got a lot of love for him, but it is what it is. It is what it is.
It is what it is, and that's what it is. Joy, is there a gap between the Cowboys and between the Eagles and the Cowboys?
Yeah, there is a gap, and I don't even think it's coaching. I know Mike McCarthy gets a lot of, you know, he catches a lot, and we'll really find out this year because he's going to be calling plays. But he has won a Super Bowl, and nobody can take that away from him. You can give it all to Aaron Rodgers if you want to, but we know Aaron Rodgers isn't necessarily known for being the best leader. So he won a Super Bowl. He's a Super Bowl-winning coach. I think they're comparable. Whatever, if you have a preference, that's fine. I think the gap is obviously quarterback, and I think it's ownership. I think that the proof is in the pudding with the Cowboys. You can say all you want. They're the wealthiest. They're worth more than any sports franchise in the world. Any sport. That's something.
That's big.
But that's the business side. If you're talking about on the field,
good point.
Where is the evidence that I should take this seriously? What's changed? They always have talent. Mm. They always have a lot of excitement going into the season. Their defense was not good. Great last year. And Shady, we talked a lot about this in the postseason, so I'm going to bring this up again because the pushback, Dak can do it. What happened in that 49ers loss?
You know what happened.
Was that the defense's fault?
Nope.
Were they playing against a seventh round, last pick in the draft rookie on the other side of the ball?
Yes, they was. Yes, they
19 was. 19-12. 12 points. They were within a score with 3 minutes and 4 seconds left. Dak got the ball twice, went 3 and out.
Pick. Sorry.
Then got the ball back with 45 seconds left and went 26 yards. That's what you get paid to do. That's when it matters. Oh, that's a cute stat, little graphic we have with the wins and the losses and stuff. That's cute. When it matters, can you beat the 49ers who are playing a seventh-round rookie quarterback?
She preached.
Can you score 20 points? Mm. And they couldn't do it. And it wasn't because – did they have an all-pro wide receiver, Shady?
Yes, they did.
Did they have a pretty decent run game?
Yes, they did.
Offensive lines, yeah, that's pretty good.
You know what I mean?
Pretty good.
Got Pro Bowl running backs out there. Pro Bowl running
back out there.
Come on now, she talked.
So,
she preached
so
the day.
To me, it's like there's a gap. There's a gap. Sure, like you know, it's like close. It's not close because when it matters, the postseason, which I get told every single year, I'm supposed to consider them to be contenders. And if you look at them on paper, if you look at their defense, if you look at the talent, they are. So where is the gap? You tell me. It seems like it's right there.
Mm. I mean, you made a good point because they did average 30. The 49ers and the Cowboys shut that offense down. So what 12? What
19 points? Mm.
I mean, hey.
We need to have Dak on the show so he can tap out. Because, man.
I mean, he's an incredible leader. He's the face of the league. And I think it's very, very, very difficult to be the face of the biggest organization in all of sports on planet Earth.
Yeah.
I'm talking about what happens on the field.
Yep.
Here's what's fascinating, Slick. I was thinking about this before the show. Would you rather going into the season, the known commodity of Dak Prescott? We know exactly who he is. Drafted in 2016, it's 2023, so he's got to be going into year 7 or 8. Known commodity of Dak Prescott or the unknown commodity of Jalen Hurts? Jalen Hurts, second team All-Pro last year, phenomenal season. The year before, clearly he wasn't as good. The year before, he was a rookie primarily in wildcat packages. Would you rather that known commodity of Dak, who's commanded 2 number one offenses in the last 4 years, or Jalen Hurts, who you know his ceiling is higher,
right,
but you don't know what his floor is? Where do you stand?
I would go with Jalen Hurts simply because I know that his ceiling can be higher than what Dak Prescott, I believe, has demonstrated to me. I'm not expecting Dak Prescott at this point to reinvent himself. And I will roll the dice on, I mean, what's at worst, Jalen Hurts will be Dak Prescott, right? There's no reason for me to believe that he's going to be worse than what? The guy who threw the most, what?
Last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's him.
So that's him. That's why I would bet on Hurts. And I do think that that's the separation. I think overall, the talent on the two rosters, particularly going based off of last year, is really comparable. I wouldn't say that there's a wide margin there. But I'm going to push back on the idea that as of right now, that there's not a difference in the coaching. Because, and I know we don't like to talk about, you know, boring stuff like penalties and things like that, but I put that on coaching. And the Dallas Cowboys are one of the heaviest penalized teams in the NFL. And conversely, the Eagles are not. I give that on coaching. You know, looking at Nick Sirianni, I think he had a couple of clock management issues, decisions his first year, but not this past year. That's been a bugaboo for Mike McCarthy this year. We had several incidents where
it
was mismanagement by the coaching. So, for me, that's the separation. I look at the talent, and I go, these guys can go head-to-head, and especially with the point Shady made to me off camera, which is like when you're a divisional rival and you see each other all the time, it's always going to be close.
Can I ask you guys a question as a group? If we had Dak Prescott right there, he's sitting right there, and we said, brother, why do you think, or what position you feel like is the reason why you guys can't get over the hump? What do you think he would say?
He would give it. Let me see. Let's see if I can do the quarterback speak. Well, you know, I think we all need to be better at all of our positions. We all work really hard in the offseason. And, you know, we didn't get it done last year. So, you know, I know all of us have been in the gym. We need to be better.
I heard. But I'm saying, but just put your finger on one position. This one position. Oh, it could be the kicker. This one. Who do you feel it is, brother?
Yeah, well,
just one.
Well, brother, I think I'm always gonna. It starts and stops with me.
Thank you, Dad.
You know, and
thank you, Dad.
You know, I think I need to be better.
Yes, you do.
I'm the leader of the team.
That's right.
When we win, it's on me. When we lose, it's on me. And you know, obviously, we all need to be better. We've been working really hard this offseason.
That's right.
We've been working with coach. We feel really good about the game plan that we have. We got a lot of talent in the room.
Dak, and I heard you saying the right things. I see your focus.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna leave you with one tip, right? Because I don't play quarterback. It's one tip. I played with some great ones, right? And I'm gonna leave you with one tip. You ready for this? When you're out there in that field, son, you're playing hard with your teammates. You're being a leader out there. Throw the ball to your team, not the opposing team.
Dane Hellman is furious.
Oh, my God.
Somewhere right
now.
That's
a good tip.
He's throwing things at the TV.
Bro, that's not a good tip.
That's phenomenal.
For him, that'd be a great tip.